the Award Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 204 in what has now officially become a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Kaboom. Kaboom. Yes. Man, we have got a fantastic show for you this week, folks. It's late. Yeah. I know what you're saying. It's late. But it's fantastic nonetheless. Eric Elbogen of Say Hi, the band formerly known as Say Hi to Your Mom, now Say Hi, is here. He's here. And he's joining me in the backyard. And we're going to chat about his new album. About why he doesn't like taking vacations. Yeah, that's a thing, man. That threw me. I'm not going to lie. You're going to hear all about it. Later on in the episode. We're also going to be featuring music from his wonderful new album, out now on Barsook Records. It's called Endless Wonder, and it is fantastic. I have been... it's been one of those records that I just haven't turned off, really. Been listening to it constantly. So we'll talk to him, listen to some tunes. We're also, oh my God, we got to announce the winner of the Timber Music Festival contest. Yeah, we'll do that here in a little bit too. How was your 4th of July, folks? Was it good? I hope it was. Mine was kind of lackluster. Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about my 4th of July, can I? It is my show, right? Yeah, I can do that. I can do anything I want. Anyway, 4th of July. So I had this grand idea. We were going to go to my parents' house over in the small town of Indianola, Washington, right on the beach. It was supposed to be great weather. We were going to go hang out at my parents' house because they weren't going to be there. And we were just going to chill, man. We were going to chill out in their house, go to the beach. We're going to ride bikes. We're going to go check out the fireworks show because there's this rich dude that does a fireworks show every year that gets, like, more and more amazing every year. And it's like watching a real fireworks show, right? And so I had this whole thing built up in my brain, like, yes, I'm going to get my 3-year-old out there. She's going to meet some of my friends that I grew up with as a little kid, and she's going to meet their kids, and it's all going to be great and dandy. And then, you know, somewhere down the line, I can let my 3-year-old go over to my parents' house for a week at a time, and she'll have a great time because she's got friends over there, right? That's what's spinning in my head, right? Those are the wheels that are turning. None of that happens. None of it whatsoever. I go on a little bike ride. I see an old friend of mine, Kelsey. We meet up with her kids. That was great. That was awesome. But that was only about an hour. That was only about an hour of the whole 3-day weekend, right? Man, damn it, dude. It's hard to, we couldn't get the kids out of the house to go to the beach. We couldn't even do that. My parents live like 2-3 houses away from the beach. We couldn't get the kids out to go to the beach. We couldn't get the kids out to go to the fireworks either. That kind of sucked. I don't look forward to seeing fireworks. I'm not a big fireworks guy, but I was very excited to get my daughter to go see fireworks. Who knows? She could have been like totally freaked out by them, right? I don't know. She could have loved them. But we won't find out now until next year, maybe. If we can get out of the house next year. Man. Ruined. But so anyway, we get home. It wasn't ruined. It was a great weekend. It was still very, very laid back. I got to watch some HGTV because my parents have cable. That's amazing. Yeah, Yeah, soaked it all in, man. Some House Hunters International, some House Hunters Renovation, which was good. That's a good show. That is a good show, you guys. House Hunters and renovating the house that they buy? That's amazing. What a combination. Oh, such a great idea. Such a great idea for the show. I love it. I absolutely love it. Anyway, we get home, and I took some time today. We're recording this on Monday. I took some time today when I got off work. I was like, all right, Daddy is going to just lay out in the sun for a little while. And that's what I did. And man, I'll tell you what, I just pretended that the street noise were waves on a tropical beach. And I was instantly transported. Of course, this is like, I'm like three vodka tonics in at this point. And I'm just imagining that the street noise is waves. And I'm laying on a sandy beach in Hawaii somewhere. And man, it was nice. It was really, really nice, guys. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that tomorrow, too, I think. Don't worry. I'm still a good dad because we're all in the backyard together. It's a whole thing. We've got that all covered, right? We've got that all covered. Yeah. It works out great. I just pretend I'm somewhere else, and bam, I'm there. Got a great imagination, people. Yeah, but I hope you guys all had a great 4th of July if you're listening this in the States. Yeah, I hope you all have your digits, your hands, your feet, your faces, your eyeballs. Hope nothing got blown up. Safe and sane, right? Safe and sane. Let's see, what else we got to get to? Oh, yeah, leading up to the 4th of July, yours truly featured on the cover of Seattle Weekly, which was pretty cool, man. It was pretty cool, let me tell you. I could get used to that kind of attention. Yeah, it was fun. It was an honor to be asked to do it. It was an honor to then be asked to do a short little column in there. If you guys want to go look it up for those not in Seattle or that didn't see it, you can go to the seattleweekly.com website and then just type in Aaron Roden or the Air Raid podcast. I don't know what it's under there. But yeah, it's my guide, my 8-step guide to packing more freedom into your 4th of July. And I got to say, came out pretty good, guys. Came up pretty good. Yeah, that's right. if you want to see the cover photo, it's at our Facebook page, the Air Raid Podcast. Facebook.com/the Air Raid Podcast. Let's do this, shall we? We need to get to the winner. We need to get to the winner. We've been doing this contest. We had a contest, folks, if you haven't been listening. For anybody who liked our Facebook page or followed us on Twitter at Air Raid Net, you were automatically entered into this contest to win 2 tickets and camping for 3 days at the Timber Music Festival coming up on July 24th, 25th, and 26th. Yeah, man. Super easy to enter, right? We're going to do a lot more of these, too. So if you want to enter any future contest, just like our Facebook page or follow us at Air Raid Net. July 24th, 25th, and 26th of this year, Timber Outdoor Music Festival happening in beautiful Carnation, Washington, right on the Snoqualmie River. Oh, my God, man. It is an amazing scene out there. It is amazing. You're out in the woods, dude. You can swim in the river. It's this low flow point in the river, and man, it is awesome. And this year, gonna be even better, really. Damian Jurado, Charles Bradley, Jay Maskus, who I get to bring up on stage on Saturday night. Oh my God, dream come true, man. That's gonna be awesome. Let's see, the Seattle Rock Orchestra is going to be playing all of Pet Sounds out there. Let's see. Who else is going to be out there? Mikey and Maddie. Hey, congratulations to Maddie Gervais, by the way. Got married over the weekend to his lovely wife, Charity. So congratulations to them. They've been on the show. Cumulus going to be there. They've been on the show. Yeah. It's going to be a great time, guys. July 24th, 25th, and 26th, Timber Outdoor Music Festival in Carnation, Washington. Get your tickets now. But you know who doesn't have to get a ticket? You know who doesn't have to buy 2 tickets and camping for Timber Music Festival? Courtney Westby of Puyallup, Washington. That's right, Courtney Westby of Puyallup, Washington. You do not need to buy a ticket. What we do need you to do, though, is send us an email, aaron@air-raid.net, at Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at air-raid.net. Did I make that confusing enough for you, Courtney? I hope not. Email us your contact info, because we need to get that stuff pronto to the timber people. So we'll send you an email, too, to confirm all that stuff. And anyway, yeah, email me, Aaron at air-raid.net, Courtney, and congratulations on winning those tickets and the camping. I hope you guys have a great time. I hope you and a friend or your lover have a great time at Timber Music Festival. It's going to be fun, man, and I'll see you there, right? Come and grab me if you see me there. But thanks for entering, everybody. And remember, if you've already liked the Facebook page, already following us on Twitter, you're already entered for any future contests. That's we're gonna do those contests unless specified otherwise. Okay, that's how we're gonna do the contest going on. Right. One of the reasons we can do these contests, one of the reasons that we can bring this show to you week after week with guests like Bob Saget, Pete Holmes, Eddie Pepitone, Duncan Trussell. Man, God, the list goes on and on, guys. Jim Brewer, Bob Saget, Damian Jurado, Chris Walla from Death Cab for Cutie, John Roderick. Man, that's a good one, right? David Bazan from Pedro the Lion. Who else? Who else have been on the show? The Dismemberment Plan. Macklemore. Yeah, that's right. That Macklemore. How about Eric Elbigan of Say Hi? Yeah, that's right. You can find all that stuff at the archives page at air-raid.net. But the reason we can bring all that stuff to you guys is because we get great sponsorship from Naked City Brewery and Tap House here in North Seattle. Great people, great beer, great food. Go and check them out. 8564 Greenwood Avenue North here in Seattle, Washington. Just an amazing place, guys. Need I say more? They're doing Laugh Riot. They're doing a comedy show there every second Saturday. It's coming up, folks. It's coming up. I think it's next Saturday. They're doing the second Laugh Riot. The first one was amazing. Derek Sheen is really putting together one hell of a show, guys. So check that out. $10 at brownpapertickets.com. Just type in Laugh Riot, and you'll find it there. But you couldn't see it at a better place, man. Right there in the screening room where we did our live show. By the way, doing another live show. Yeah, that's right. In the fall, we'll let you guys know about that, definitely. But yeah, man, it's a great place. Great food, great beer, great people, great atmosphere as well. So go and check it out. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, get all the updates about what new beers they've got on tap and what they're brewing. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, guys. If you're into drinking, that's a great place to do it. Right? Yeah. Okay, let's do this, shall we? Can we please? Let's get to some music. Off of the new album available, through Barsook, the wonderful people at Barsook. What a great label, guys. Jeez. Go and check it out. ILikeSayHi.com. And then you can find all the tour dates and everything there. And the new record as well. And you can purchase it there, right there, on the website. It's pretty sparse website, man. Pretty easy to navigate. Nothing to trip you up on the navigation on this website. Let me tell you, ILikeSayHi.com. Go and check it out. We're featuring music off of the new album, Endless Wonder. This song is called Hurt in the Morning. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
I will. need you. I love it.
If I'm an
artist salary.
Yeah, nah. You know, I just, if I'm gonna travel, I might as well be playing shows. I don't like the whole go somewhere and do nothing. And my mind is always 100 miles an hour, so sitting around doing nothing just isn't conducive to how
really?
I like to be.
Wow. I mean, we don't know each other very well, but that surprises me.
Does it?
Regardless, yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, I just picture it in my mind, like, everybody likes to just go lay on a beach.
Yeah, not me.
Like, not even just for a couple hours?
No, not really.
Have you ever tried it?
I have tried it. I once went to Hawaii for 2 weeks. It was the most boring thing I've ever done.
Oh, my God.
In my life.
It must have just been brutal for you.
Yeah, it was beautiful, don't get me wrong, but I was just like, I would rather be at home making records.
It's funny and it's kind of sad, Eric.
It is.
I mean, you're like a workaholic. Like that's a sickness.
Well, it's true and it's true, but I happen to very much love what I do for a living. So
sure.
Just being is my vacation.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. But you have a girlfriend, right?
I do.
And does she not like going on vacations
too? Oh, she loves it.
Okay. So does she just go without you?
Yes, pretty much.
Okay, good. But when you're on tour, like, you get to see all sorts of stuff. Like, I mean, there's some downtime on a tour, right? A little bit here and there.
You'd be surprised. I mean, when I'm putting together a tour, my instructions, or some of my instructions to the booking agent, are no days off. So there are the sections of the country where you have to have days off because you're playing Austin one night and then Phoenix, you know, two, three days later. And so you just have to drive those days. But if I'm ever in a town and there's a day off, I'm just like sitting there pacing around my hotel room, just like pissed that I don't have anything to do.
You're not even just going to see, like, let's say you're in Europe. You've toured Europe before.
I've been to Germany once. I did a week of shows in Germany, but haven't done any touring beyond that.
So you didn't go visit the wall or you know, anything?
If I'm going someplace foreign,
you'll see something.
Yeah.
Because you have to, right? That's part of the job.
Yeah, I would enjoy it, okay. I suppose. As long as I'm walking and doing something active, I'll be fine. But if I'm just like sitting there trying to relax, like most of the time I go on tour and the people I'm with love the days off. They just want to sit around the pool and do nothing. And I'm just like, get me out of here. Come on, let's go carry some equipment into a venue and get sweaty and then carry it out.
So do you, okay, so let's, I want to get to the heart of this a little bit. And then we'll talk about the album and your music and stuff. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Okay, good. We don't even have to get there.
You've talked enough about that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is new territory.
Yes.
Okay, so like, because I saw you out at the Catch reunion show with Tennis Pro and Aqueduct the other night. Great show, by the way.
Absolutely.
That was awesome, man. They killed it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you see Tennis Pro too?
I did.
Yeah, yeah. They're really good.
Yeah.
Really a super good live. A lot of fun to watch. So, I mean, would you consider that work then? Or is that, that's playtime, right? For you, you go out to a bar, you have a drink.
Yeah.
That's like normal day-to-day kind of.
Yeah, you know, I have gotten to a point where something like that is not work so much. You know,
okay.
I'm certainly making notes in my head when I'm watching other bands and when I'm watching the crowd react to those bands and when I'm watching the venue staff do their thing, just because that's, my life is so ingrained in that world.
Sure, sure.
So, but, you know, there was a time where it would just drive me crazy because I would be like, oh, you know, I would do that differently. And, oh, this band is definitely better than mine. And that makes me feel really, really bad. And now I'm able to go and just
enjoy,
objectively have a good time.
Did you have to make yourself do that? Or was that just something that happened over time?
No, I think my brain has mellowed out with age.
How old are you?
87 years old.
I think that's the same answer you gave me last time.
Yes, I haven't had my birthday yet. No, I think I am 37.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're around the same age. Like, I mean, there's definitely something that happens in your mid-30s.
Yeah.
Where you just, like, you start mellowing out. Things don't really have the same meaning for you anymore.
Yeah. Right? And that's a bad thing and a good thing.
Sure, sure.
But most of the time it's a good thing. I find myself not being obsessed with the same sort of things that I would obsess over that used to make me really unhappy. And now I'm just, like I said, being on vacation.
Yeah. But working.
Yeah, work, vacation. Yeah. What's the difference?
So what do you, so I mean, what it sounds like to me too is like you're almost like a comedian where you're at these shows, you're basically walking the room, right? You're checking out what the act on stage is doing, like kind of taking mental notes as to like movements and things like that, like stage presence kind of stuff, or musically?
Not so much stage presence unless it's one of the polar extremes, like if a band is up there and they're just really not giving anything, I'll be like, oh yeah, that's why you do need to genuinely enjoy yourself on stage, because if you're not, it looks really, really boring and nobody is connecting with you. And you know, the other extreme where if they're just killing it, it's just like it's
overdone, you mean?
No, I don't mean that at all. It's just it makes me excited and it makes me want to try harder performer.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So you're taking notes, you're taking mental notes on that kind of stuff, and then musically stuff too?
Yeah, musically, like I'm just always I'm always working on arrangements in my head, and so I'll be like, "Oh, cool." Like I never go to the thing where there's like a bridgey type pre-chorus before the actual chorus, and this band is doing that. That's pretty cool. I should think about that tomorrow when I'm working on one of my 100 songs that I work on at home.
All by yourself, right?
Indeed.
That's what I liked about talking with you and Michael Lerner of Telekinesis when you guys were in the dining room studios a while back. Was that finding out that both of you just make music on your own, like you lock yourselves into a room and just do it for months on end, was a pretty cool realization for me.
Really?
Like, yeah. It was like, wow, you know, people exist like that. And they, and well, and that sounds weird how I put that, but like you pour yourself into your work and the result is like this big, beautiful thing that people enjoy, right?
That's what you hope for, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's worked for you, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
it has.
Yeah. It's worked for Michael too.
It has, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
And the flip side of that is that it seems such a like such a foreign and exciting concept to me, those bands who are like
work together
four people and
sure.
they rehearse the songs and then maybe they play those songs at shows a bunch and then they go into a studio for 3 days or a week or 2 weeks or whatever and then they bang it out. Like
yeah, yeah.
That seems awesome to me.
What, have you ever tried it? Have you ever tried it that way?
Yeah, it's not for me.
It just doesn't work. it sounds great on paper, guys.
Yeah.
But it's not going to work out.
I think that it's a different thing. I've had this conversation with a lot of musicians that I know. You know, there are a lot of Barsuk bands that are quote unquote bands mm-hmm. that are just like dudes who do a lot of things by themselves, and you get a different record, and sometimes this is another situation where sometimes that's a bad thing and sometimes that's a good thing. But for me, it's exciting that when I'm working on a drum part, I could just make it be the sparsest, most simple thing in the world because I'm doing it all and I'm doing it for the song. Whereas if there was a drummer in the band, depending on how mature that drummer was, he or she would want to make sure that there are amazing drum fills and that there's movement and
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That can be cool, but a lot of times it's not.
Are you referring to any song in particular of the new album?
No, the new record, like a lot of my records is pretty, pretty minimal. The hard part in finishing this record was actually figuring out what to subtract, to make it cohesive because I spent way too long on this one. And
yeah,
I'm actually today, just was doing some hard drive organization and trying to figure out where to put my terabytes and terabytes of audio that I recorded for the new record that are just sitting there.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pardon this, me. The current one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happens to me every, I don't know, every 6 months. Cause each one of these episodes is like, you know, finished product or not finished product, but like, you know, what we record onto the program is like 90 megabytes. We've got 200 shows and then you have the MP3 on top of that.
Yeah.
That's mixed down. And that turns out to be, you know, maybe 50, 40, something like that. And then it's just a massive amount of information. And every time I get rid of some stuff, it turns out that I have to go back and get that somehow
yeah.
again, you know?
Can't you just like connect the microphone right into Spotify and just have it stream and not take up any hard drive space anywhere? Or is it not?
Is that a real thing?
No.
No, that's not a real thing. I don't think I'd get paid if it worked that way. So what I was thinking about when you mentioned that like really sparse drum parts is the song Like Apples, Like Pears.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a really cool, it almost sounds like it. Is that the one that almost sounds like a 70s song, right?
Yeah, it's the one about butts.
Yes, yeah, it's about butts. It's a great song.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. But I mean, a lot of the songs on the new album like have a very, or at least a couple of them have a very nostalgic feel to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, those
which I like.
Those old records sound the best, and
yeah,
so
yeah.
You know, I'm always trying to make them sort of reference that, not necessarily like appropriate 100% from the 60s and the 70s, mm-hmm. but you know,
a just, callback almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that. So it's definitely intentional.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, put on any Bowie record from the 70s and just listen to how it sounds, and it's so much better than how records sound these days.
Well, yeah, and there's going to be at least like two songs about butts in there too.
It's true.
Oh my God, that's great. So let's go back a little bit because I would like to, I know that when you were here with Michael, we talked a little bit about like how you got started in music and stuff, but we didn't really like, we only scratched the surface on that. And I would like to learn a little bit more about you, like as a person. So where did music start for you? Like, what was this something that like your family was involved in? Because you have an amazing work ethic that goes along with this, and you have an amazing knowledge as well, going back with music and using all these influences to make your records. Like, where does all that come from?
So the late 80s, I became obsessed with all the big hair bands.
Sure.
Like Motley Crue was my favorite band.
Yeah.
The first album that I actually bought with my own money, I bought on the same day I bought two cassettes. I bought Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction and that whatever that popular DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince album was.
Oh, hell yeah.
And
the one with the song about Freddy Krueger on it?
I think so.
That
yeah.
one used to freak me out, yeah. dude. Oh man, yeah. That was a good album.
And I basically ended up gravitating more towards the Guns N' Roses.
Okay. Yeah.
And just eventually I think that my mom saw that I really was interested in learning to play the guitar, because I was like, I think at one point I had like made like a cardboard guitar just to like pretend like I was playing guitar along to the records.
Sure, sure.
And I think she saw that and miraculously she walked in with a real electric guitar, and was that she had either bought from our family friends or uh-huh. or they had given it to her to give to me.
Oh, that's cool.
I ended up taking like two or three lessons. And I think before the third lesson, I discovered this thing called tablature, which is, they'd have these song books with actual musical notes on it. And then down below they had like little numbers of like what fret and what string you should be playing
on. Yeah,
those on.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, who needs lessons if I could do this? And so
you're a much smarter man than I. I went to like off and on. I went to guitar lessons for like, I don't know, maybe 2 years or something like that. Same guitar teacher, and all he taught me was tablature. Like that was it. And I wouldn't even like, you know, learn the thing.
Yeah.
I'd come back the next time and it'd just be like, okay, you know, let's play through this first part of Axis Bold as Love, and then we'll learn the second part. And I'd be like, well, we still need to learn the first part.
Right. And, you know, I don't know if it was the case for you, but at the time I was like, oh, my guitar teacher, he's probably like in a famous band and he really knows what he's doing. And then, you know, now that I think about it, it's like, no, he was just some schmo who needed to make a few extra bucks by teaching kids how to play guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I'm sure your guy was
exactly
the same
what
way.
I did. Like, oh yeah, totally. It's exactly what I did in college, yeah. like for a little bit of time, you know? Oh man, it was awful. I was a terrible guitar teacher.
But yeah, so I started doing that, and then that turned into me just learning some chords and pretty much bypassed the whole like, mm-hmm. oh, well, let me work on my technique for years and years, and just started writing songs.
Sure, sure. So that's what, like 88, 89?
Yes.
Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And I was started doing that, sort of formed my first band when I was in high school, and that was right around the time when like Nevermind was coming out.
Oh, sure.
To a
yeah.
few years
yeah.
later. And you know, then like, even though I would still really, really love Van Halen and Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses, and
that was like phasing out.
Yeah. And then, you know, Pearl Jam and Nirvana were my
favorite
bands.
Are you from Seattle?
No, I grew up in a small town in Southern California called Los Angeles. You've heard of it.
Oh, no. Huh. Oh. Los Angeles?
Yeah, it's a few miles north of San Diego.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so once that started, I pretty much haven't stopped. Like, it's just obsessing for decades and decades over trying to write songs and trying to make records and trying to play shows. And
yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah, that's great, man. It's working.
Thank you very
much. Yeah, it's taking a lot of work though, right? Getting there.
It does. It yeah. does. It to some extent, it's on autopilot these days.
Uh-huh.
It's still challenging. I challenge myself every time I'm making a new record and doing a new tour. But
sure.
But it's fun.
Yeah. So what was the first record you made? I'm guessing it was with an actual band, right?
So my high school band.
What was the name of the high school band?
I'm almost loath to mention the names of these bands.
Please.
Only because I. Well, it's,
these are the most embarrassing things ever. Like this is.
So my high school band was called Frolic.
That's not bad.
Well, the embarrassing thing is that if your listeners go and try and track down the music, that's what, more what I'm afraid of. So somewhere there is a 6-song Frolic cassette, self-titled. Was it self-titled? That I don't remember. Made it, I don't know how we ended up finding this guy, but we found this guy who had a house like deep in the heart of the San Fernando Valley, who had a studio sort of in like a little freestanding structure, like the one we're sitting in right now, like in the backyard.
Yeah.
And he recorded us. And I remember him doing like a bunch of drum replacement because my drummer didn't have very good sounding drums, and that
couldn't
was like
go a, with a metronome that or was something,
like
and...
no he played fine, but it was like the actual sounds, like he was using like a very crude version of drum replacement that existed at that time. This was like the early 90s, I guess.
So Pro Tools was just kind of coming out, wasn't that when Pro Tools kind of came out?
You know, he wasn't using Pro Tools. If it did come out then, he was using ADATs. Do you remember those things?
The like the big thick tape, right?
Yeah, it's like the first digital multi-trackers.
Sure. Yeah.
Which it's funny now, every once in a while I'll hear like a record from that era come on the radio and like I hear that the sound of that and it's
really?
Like, oh my God, it's so bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
And the other thing about that cassette is that either he or the manufacturing company messed up, and so my voice is like pitched up
really
a bit, which for some reason I never like made a fuss about. I was just like, oh, okay.
I've been in that situation though.
Have you?
Oh yeah. Like the first time I went into like a professional studio to record with a band, like I was so nervous in front of the recording technician that he was kind of a producer too.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't do well in that setting.
Yeah.
You know? And like, you know, you feel like you've got to kind of impress this guy or at least not embarrass yourself.
Right.
Right. And then at one point, like I was in the sound booth doing the vocals and they were listening to just, they would turn off my bass player and the drummer and the recording engineer, I could see them through the window, are laughing, just like they're losing their shit.
Because they're just soloing your
They're
your
just soloing
vocal.
My voice, and they're just listening to it like you know, David Lee Roth's soloed track on YouTube now.
But that's awesome.
It's awesome, but it was like mine is not, I'm not David Lee Roth.
Not yet.
Right?
Not yet.
I've got some years.
Yes.
Keep on practicing. Yeah. But it's just so embarrassing, and it's like I don't function well in that kind of setting. And
it is. I've certainly been in that situation a few times.
Yeah. So back to what you said though is like, so you do something wrong and you're just like, no, nah, it's fine.
Well,
do it again.
Yes, that too. But what I'm actually talking about is like they ran the transfer to the cassettes like too slow or too fast,
okay.
And so like like I sound vaguely like a chipmunk.
Yeah. That bad?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. And that's, I was like, just like, oh, okay, whatever. Which if that happened now, like someone would be getting a phone call.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that
heads
much.
Are going to roll. Really.
Or I'd be like, hey, there's a problem. Can you just redo this, please?
Oh my God, that's awful. How old were you at that point?
Probably 16.
16? Yeah. So you don't have much gravitas, like,
yeah,
behind you.
Yeah.
To like tell, obviously, like some older recording guy.
Yeah.
That he did something wrong.
Yeah.
Right. That's got to be part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, the first time I had ever been in a studio, and I didn't know.
Maybe it's
know.
Supposed to sound like that.
Yeah. Maybe that's just what I sound like.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's ever told you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let's do this, man. Let's go with our second musical break. We are featuring music today off of the new album Endless Wonder by Say Hi, and this is called Like Apples, Like Pears. This is a great song. This is a fantastic song. So enjoy. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast with special guest this week, Eric Elbogen of Say Hi. Be right back. I did the same thing a couple weeks ago with Steve Ranazitzi from that show, The League.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had to correct me.
Which guy is he on The League?
He's the dude with the two kids. He's not, he's married to the woman who's also part of The League, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that show quite a bit.
It's a great show, man. That guy was super nice too.
Oh, good.
And we've had three people from that show,
really?
On this show now. Yeah, we had Paul Scheer, and then Jason Manzoukas too.
Cool.
Who plays the crazy guy, you know, on the show that's always like pooping and things and pulling his dick out. Yeah, at inopportune times.
The Taco.
Not Taco. The real crazy guy with the crazy hair and the beard.
The brother of the...
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Cool guys. Cool guys. Yeah. But yeah, I have a thing with last names. Like, I can't... I think it's like a fear... There's a fear mechanism in my brain that doesn't allow me to, like, be confident enough to just say somebody's last name because I'm too scared of getting it wrong. And then that, in process, trips me up and I get it wrong.
I have that thing with people's first names.
Really?
I always feel like I'm going to forget them, so I say, hey, man, how's it going?
Yeah. How long did it take you to remember my name?
I still don't remember your name, man.
It's Aaron, by the way. But
just kidding.
No. I totally know where you're coming from, because I have known people for years that I still can't remember their names. Our neighbors that live over on that side, I don't know their names. We've lived next to him for a year now. We see him all the time. Their dog shits in my front yard, which really pisses me off. And what would help is if I knew their names, I could go over and knock on their door and say, hey, neighbor, why is your dog pooping in my yard? But since I don't know their names, I'm not going to go over there until I, you know.
Why don't you look in their mailbox? Am I not allowed to tell you to commit a federal offense on this program?
Because if I do that, I know I'm going to get caught.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to happen. Like, that's how the world works.
So
right?
Here's what you do.
Okay.
Scoop up the dog poop, put it in a bag.
Yeah.
put it in their mailbox
as
you're looking at their mail. So if they catch you, just be like, sorry, I'm putting your dog's poop in your mailbox.
Ralph. That's a really good idea. I actually did that once at the condo that you have been to. There was this really big mastiff that, like, somebody across the, they used to live in the townhomes across the street. They would just let the mastiff out, and the mastiff would run around the neighborhood and poop everywhere. Mastiff is a very large dog. That's like human-sized poo.
Wow.
You know? And then, like, we had that little courtyard in the back of our condo, and I found this, like, human-sized turd. Could have been a human turd. Who knows? But I picked it up, and I went over to the townhouse mailboxes, and I plopped it right on top of all the mailboxes, and I wrote a little note to the owner of the giant dog. Because I was just stepping in this stuff, like, constantly.
That's terrible. It drives me nuts.
It drives me nuts, man. Do you have the same problem? You live on the hill.
I don't, only because I don't leave the house very often.
we've gone over this.
Yeah. And every once in a while I do, and I'm on the lookout for dog poop, so I dodge it.
Yeah. So what do you, every time I see you out, Eric, you look very good.
Thank you.
You're a very you're a sharp dressed man.
Really? Yeah. Thank you.
To
very
use
much.
A ZZ Top reference. What were you? You were wearing like a bow tie. You were wearing a bow tie at the last time I saw you, weren't you? At the Cats show?
No, I was not.
I'm thinking of somebody else. Never mind.
That's all right.
But you're very sharp dressed. Like I have trouble doing the same thing. I don't know if I can pull it off. It's again that fear mechanism in my brain that also apparently takes care of my speech. Or remembering people's names, like, it also controls how I dress. So, name a suit that I should... Help me out with this for a second.
Yeah.
Bear with me. I know things just got real weird.
No, not at all.
In the backyard studio. But I'm like, I need a suit that would look good on me that's not black.
Are you asking me for, like...
Advice.
The
advice.
Brand name of a suit?
No, just like a type of suit that I should get. Like...
Well, I think it's different for everyone. Like, I don't consider myself a sharp dressed person, mostly because I wear the exact same thing every single day. Like
that shirt?
Yeah, I have this shirt.
Yeah.
In three different colors, and I have seven quantity of each color, and so
that's a really good idea.
It's just a uniform, and it's what I feel comfortable in, and so I wear this and my Levi. And my Saucony sneakers every single day.
But when you go out, you usually you dress up a little bit, right?
Maybe I was
again.
Wearing
maybe
a,
I'm. Am a, I thinking a of jacket? Somebody else? Yeah, you were wearing a jacket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because it was cold.
Damn it! Who am I thinking of then? Shit! I had this whole thing. I was like, man, I'm gonna get some like sage advice on dress wear from Eric Elbogen.
Well,
But now, I guess, I mean, I just need to keep on doing what I'm doing. I just need more of it, right? Like, I just need to buy, you know, seven pairs of the same shirt, which is a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of the people that I love and respect wear the same thing every day. it seems like that's the secret to some sort of happiness.
It is, because you don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and that's...
It's not a source of stress.
That's exactly what it is me wanting to be creative in other areas of my life, you know?
Sure.
I respect people who are creative with their wardrobes, and they go shopping and stuff, and they do wear different things every day. I respect that, but me, I just order my stuff on the internet, and it shows up.
There you go. That's one thing I haven't tried yet is doing the internet orders, because now there's those places that you can like order stuff and try it on and then send it back if it doesn't fit right?
Yeah.
Like that seems like a pretty good way to do things, because I really hate going to stores.
Oh, me too.
Hate it.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
I hate going to all types of stores.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I have two pairs of jeans. I wear the same two pairs of jeans Like, I know that's not enough. You're giving me a look right now that that's not enough pair of jeans to
I'm giving you the look like, really? You have two?
Oh, that's great.
Because I just wear one pair until they get too
right?
old.
Right? That's not a problem, right?
Not for me.
Yeah. Okay, good. You're making me feel better.
Yeah.
This is great. I have two pairs of jeans because, like you, I will wear one pair until they wear out, and then I have another pair.
Yeah.
That I can start wearing those, and those look newer.
Oh, yeah.
But I can still wear the kind of the worn out ones.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, because, you know, they still look good. They're just a little worn out in the knees. You know, that's it.
I like it. And then so for nice occasions to wear the brand new ones.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah. But now I'm getting to the point where they're both worn out. And so I need to go back to the store, but I can't get myself to go back to the store. Like, I just hate it so much.
Yeah. Are they Levi's or are they a special brand of jeans?
They're just American Eagle.
Okay.
American Eagle. They make pretty good jeans. They're not bad.
You can't find those online?
I don't know. I've never tried.
You can find a lot of stuff online.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Even fake radio shows. They got fake radio shows online now.
What do you mean fake?
All this equipment here does nothing. This is just a visual program over here.
I like it. I don't mind,
working,
actually.
Right?
I don't mind. I didn't have anything else to do tonight anyway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It still feels like you're working, right? It's not like you're on vacation.
No, this is vacation too.
So let's talk about your new album little bit. Endless Wonder, that came out fairly recently, right? The last couple weeks.
Yeah, it came out June 17th.
June 17th.
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations, man. It's super good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I really, really like it. Like I said earlier, it's got like a couple of the songs in particular, and this is another thing that I can never remember. I don't know, you know, I'm a huge, Nirvana fan, a huge Sonic Youth fan. I only know the names of two of their songs.
Yeah.
Right? So I apologize in advance.
No, it's all right.
I don't know the names of any of the songs, but there's two of them in particular that are very nostalgic for me, one of which is the Butt song.
The Butt song.
which is super great. And the other one is the first song on the record.
Cool.
What's that one called?
It's called Hurt in the Morning.
Hurt in the Morning. I like that song too. That's a really good one. That's my jam.
Thanks.
I've been listening to it a lot. Yeah.
Thank you. That makes me feel good. I worked probably hardest on that one of all the songs on the record.
The first song?
Yeah. There's a lot going on that, like, things that come in just for a brief little tiny second, and for most of each of those things, I would spend like 4 months like trying to get just
really?
The right reverb hit or a little drum roll.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
So was it, I mean, you said earlier that you've been working on this album for a long time.
Yes.
Longer than you've ever worked on another project?
Yeah, much, much longer. Up until this record, I've sort of been able to pace it out where I've been finishing like one record a year, maybe every year and a half. And then this one just took way too long. And
even for you? Like,
yeah.
Like you just felt it? It was taking too long? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just, I worked on it for close to 3 years.
Wow.
So, and then really? you sort of reach a point where it's, you just don't know anymore. Like, you were like, I should have just signed off on it a long time ago. But now that I've made it this long, I really need to get it.
So is it, okay, well, that brings to mind, is this a situation where, like, you pushed it out even though you didn't really feel it was done?
No.
Okay.
I would still be working on it if that was the case. And it is entirely possible that at some point I will start a record and I will go to my grave not having put it out just because it's not done.
You'd be like George R. R. Martin with the sixth book.
Is that what he's doing?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, man, I want that to come out so bad.
Or seventh book or something, I don't know. Have you read them?
I have, all
of them. You
have,
okay, yeah. I'm one of those guys that hasn't read a word of
but
the books.
But you like the shows.
The show is amazing.
Yeah.
So, okay, so this it took 3 years to make this album. Are you happy with the result, though? With what's out there?
I am very happy. It's that thing that happens where my time with it is now done. Mm-hmm. You know, once I sign off on the final mixes and the master, I haven't listened to it sense, and I have no desire to listen to it. Maybe in a couple of years I will revisit it and be like, oh, okay, I should have done that differently.
Yeah.
But that part is pretty good. But my time with it is done. I've already started the next record, and so it's strange because most people are just getting to spend time with it now.
Yeah. You've had 3 years.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get where you're coming from. Are you already tired of playing the songs?
No. So the way that this record cycle worked out is, I did a big long tour just before the record came out.
And
Barsuk was kind enough to press up a bunch of CDs of the record that we were selling like before Street Date, which was pretty cool of them.
Yeah. But you were only selling them at your shows.
At shows,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I've sort of learned over the years that while it's exciting to hear new songs at a show, I think a lot of people show up to
hear the ones they're familiar
with.
Songs
they're familiar with.
Sure,
and so there was only a couple of the new ones that I was playing on the tour. And so I'm not sick of those yet, which is good.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that's cool, man. And how do your live shows work? I personally have never seen you play live. So I saw a picture of, and this will just key you into how much research I actually do before a guest comes over,
mm-hmm.
which is none.
Uh-huh.
Like I didn't even know where your website was.
Uh-huh. That's all right.
You had to tell me. But I saw a picture of you, in doing your KEXP in studio, and it was just you
right.
with a laptop and right. a couple of MIDIs.
Right.
Or synthesizers. Is that how you do a live show? You don't even have, like, there's nobody playing with you at all?
So that's how it was for this tour.
And
lately. It's a format that sort of happened by accident that I ended up trying for the Barsuk anniversary shows that happened in November, mostly because I was neck deep in making this record. And I was like, yeah, I don't really want to put a band together for this one show, but
sure.
I really want to be part of it. So I put the record on hold and spent about 4 weeks programming some Ableton Live stuff, and I sampled my analog synthesizers and drum machines and set it up, and it was really important for me. I'd tried sort of things like that before where I tried to get a little too fancy, where I was like triggering stuff with my feet and also playing guitar at the same time.
Sure.
And this time my criteria was I need to be able to have one hand free to hold the microphone. And that
not even a microphone stand.
So microphone in one hand and then a little 64 button pad controller where I play the melodies. It was a very liberating thing because all of a sudden, instead of worrying about triggering parts with my feet and or changing guitar chords, I could actually walk up to the audience and fist bump them or high five them or pull them on stage. Or I became a big fan on this tour of when someone was videotaping me with their cell phone, I would politely gesture for them to give me the cell phone, and I would bring it on stage and do a little selfie of myself singing the song with the audience.
Sure, sure.
And it was a real fun time. Like I don't think I've ever had more fun performing than
it's a lot more freedom.
Have. Yeah, it's a lot more freedom, and it sort of let me do a bunch of the older songs that I wasn't really able to do with a full band before, just because they didn't work like that.
Sure.
And for the most part, people had a really good time. There are a bunch of people who hated it, but that's always going to be the case.
Sure. Yeah.
But
you'd say on average, like most people really enjoy, the stage show.
That's
this last tour.
That's what it seemed like. It certainly worked better in some rooms, rather than others. In my professional opinion, the key to doing something like that is having a proper sound system,
Yes.
Where it could get loud so you could actually feel the music. And there were some rooms that we played that were just lacking in that department. And the other thing is how sound guys, a lot of them, most of them got it. They got what I was going for, and some of them didn't, and they did a lot of stuff to the sound that made it not really that enjoyable for me on the stage, and I assume for people out in the crowd.
Do you carry that with you for a little while too? Like after a show like that, does that like weigh on you a little bit?
Yeah, I definitely go back to the hotel and cry myself to sleep and curl into a little ball.
You don't do that, do you?
Well, not the crying part, but it's traumatizing for sure.
It's gotta be, man. I mean, this is your business now, right? This is your livelihood, and
yeah,
having something like that happen has to be kind of, like you said, a little bit devastating.
Right? Yeah, for me, you know, it's the emotional impact of it. You know, it's like here are these people who have gone out of their way to buy tickets to come out to this show. A lot of times in towns that I had never played before, I hadn't been to in 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
And I probably won't be back to for a little while. And, you know, I just feel like they deserve to feel it the way that it was meant to be felt. And when that wasn't the case, you know, or maybe it was like a room that was too big for the amount of people that showed up, and everyone sort of sat at the periphery and didn't get involved. You know, that's devastating to me as well, because it's almost like an interactive thing. Like I would stop several times for some Q&A and, you know, talk to people, and when people got it and when they were willing to participate and when the room was right, and they came up close and we could actually have a dialogue and actually be peers instead of, you know, a faceless crowd watching a faceless musician just on autopilot. When the stars aligned, I thought it was really, really great. And, I'm hoping to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, so like tours going forward, you planning on keeping that up?
I think so. I think so for the time being. I never really know. Pretty much, you know, I've been touring with this band for probably 10 or 11 years now, and it's never been the same kind of tour.
Uh-huh. Do you have the same like musicians that play with you?
No, it's
usually or
No.
Always a change up.
Always a change up. In the past sort of half decade, I've been fortunate enough that friends of mine who have been good musicians had some time to come on tour with me and do
sure.
it.
Yeah.
Back in the early days, it was like literally putting ads on Craigslist, and that sort of ended up the way you would imagine it ending up, just not in a good way.
Yeah. That's gonna be a nightmare sometimes.
Yeah. But yeah, it's fun. It's hard for me to explain it to people. Like I was trying to explain it to the parents of a friend of mine the other day, and they were like, wait, so you're not actually playing instruments? And I was trying to explain it, and it's like, you have to experience it to understand it.
Sure.
You have to, like, it's for fans of Say Hi. Like, it's for people who know the songs and sort of understand where I'm coming from and my personality. And if you're just someone who likes bands that sound like Nickelback and show up to a show and expect to hear a big, loud, bad rock and roll band, you're not going to like it.
With nothing different from the recorded version that you hear on the radio.
Right.
Do you go, I mean, that's a good question right there, is like, do you go a little bit off of the beaten path with some of these songs? Are you, are you able to with just that setup that you're using?
Absolutely. And it's intentionally that way, you know,
sure,
I would not be into a show like that, where someone was just actually playing the recorded tracks from the record and singing over that. Like, that's just karaoke. This is like each song is rearranged and made and programmed, and it's actually not like an actual linear recording. Like, it's just each note of an analog synth or drum machine is being fired off in real time, which I know doesn't matter, but for me, like, it changes the way that I think about it.
Sure.
Because for me, I hear it and I feel it, and it's, I'm like, okay, I'm not just singing to a stereo wave file. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm actually singing and playing melodies over notes.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. I get it. And I think I didn't share that opinion a long time ago. Like, because that was when, you know, when all this stuff really started coming out, like, you know, whatever you want to call it, DJs, you know, EDM, whatever. Yeah. You know, and I mean, that argument is still out there today. It's a lot less, you know, that, oh, they're not real musicians. They're not actually even doing anything.
Right.
But you are. Like, you have to, I mean, and I would even argue that you have to memorize more as a DJ.
Yeah.
Than you would if you were just a band. Because every one person has to remember one part to each of one of these songs. If you're a DJ, you're remembering 30 parts to one song that may go on, that can go on for a whole hour.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I mean, it's pretty impressive. Well, you know, seeing some of these setups too.
It is impressive. And I too at one point was, you know, I would see a show and I'd be like, oh, this, you know, what's going on here? And then at some point, maybe because I got old, like we were talking about before,
I
sort of came to the realization that it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
Like, you are there to entertain people, and however you want to entertain people and however people want to be entertained, that's what matters. Yeah. Whether or not you're playing real instruments, whether or not you're recreating a record note for note, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
If the musicians are having a good time and the crowd is having a good time, like, I could be up there playing an iPhone app, and as long as people are enjoying it and I'm enjoying it, like, I have no theoretical problem with that.
I really like that, man. Yeah. That's a great place to stop. Thank you so much for coming on the show again.
Absolutely.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. The new album is fantastic. It's called Endless Wonder, and it's out right now. Where should people go to purchase this?
They can go to the Barsuk website, which is linked to on the Say Hi website, and the Say Hi website is ilikesayhi.com. They could go to their local record store. They could go to iTunes, anywhere.
Anywhere is preferable.
Anywhere is preferable, yes.
All right, just buy it.
Buy it, listen to it. It doesn't matter.
You know what? I am going to say this one thing. Don't buy it on Google Play. Because I bought it on Google Play.
Really?
And apparently, I was totally unaware of this, but you can only stream what you buy on Google Play. You can't download it.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So that's why I had to email Ever and was like, hey, can I get a digital download to this? Because Google Play won't let me, like, you know, take the files off or do anything like that. And then like we were talking about, I get horrible service back here.
Yeah,
so I can't even stream it back here in the studio. So, like, yeah, it's super annoying. Don't buy it on Google Play.
Anywhere but Google Play.
Anywhere but Google Play is just great. Do that. Well, thanks again, Eric. It's been a real pleasure, and I hope all the best for you on this next album that you're working on right now.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, word. All right, we're going to go out today with the song When I Think About You off of Eric's new album, which is amazing. Go and get it. Just don't get it on Google Play. Endless Wonder. The album is called Endless Wonder on Barsuk Records. So go and get your hands on a hard copy, will ya? All right. This is When I Think About You. And, go and check out our archives page. All 200 episodes with people like Bob Saget, Jim Brewer, Scott Aukerman, Eddie Pepitone. Let's see. Chris Walla of Death Cab for Cutie, The Dismemberment Plan, Mud Honey, The Presidents of the United States of America, and Now Say Hi on this very program. So go to www.air-raid.net and look at the archives page, won't you? Yeah, all right. Hey, this is When I Think About You by Say Hi, and we'll be back next week.